got the two scriptures. But that was kind of like a little introduction of what we're going to be talking about, which is from nearly A to Z. You know, we talked about losing weight, talked about some people, they want to gain weight. You know, I got a nephew now that he's drinking Ensure and all kinds of stuff because, I mean, he's 17 and what's he weigh, maybe 100, 110? So most of us want to be smaller, but there are a few that they want to be bigger, you know. And a lot of times all these things that we're going to be talking about, people just deal with the natural. But how many knows the life is in the spirit? The power is in the spirit. So if you'll deal with the spiritual thing first, or the spiritual problems or lacks first, how many knows you'll be able to take care of what's in the natural. But if you don't, all you've got in the natural is just willpower, and a lot of us just don't have much of it as far as that's concerned. But we're talking about how to reach your goals. These could be natural goals like losing weight, saving money. They could be spiritual goals like getting closer to God. You know, every one of us should be closer to God next year than what we was this year. Every one of us should be freer next year than what we was this year. Why? Because the Bible says that He's wanting to take us from faith to faith, which means a higher level, and from glory to glory, which means a higher level. We're never supposed to be regressing. We're always supposed to be progressing, right? So, I'm not going to tell you how much you need to weigh. That's not my business. Neither should you tell me. It's none of your business. I'm not going to tell you how much money you should have. That's not my business, you know, or anything like that. That has nothing to do with me. And don't think that because I'm teaching this morning that I have all of these under control. You can tell by looking at me that I don't. You know, if I did, one thing, I would not be overweight is what I am. According to the doctors, I am what they say obese. Now, that just sounds nasty. You know, but you'd be so much overweight, I think it's, what is it, 25, 30 pounds, somewhere around in there, they consider you to be obese. Well, the only thing that is a lack of self-control. So I'm going to be as honest as I can. Every one of us, if you're going to come out, if you're going to overcome, if you're going to reach your goals, you have to be brutally honest with yourself. Because most of the time, the reason why people don't is because they make excuses. The devil made me do it. Listen, even if you're lost, the devil cannot make you do anything. If he could, how come everybody's not a murderer? Somebody chose not to. How come every lost person is not a drug addict? They chose not to. How come every person that is lost is not cigarette smokers or dope smokers or, you know, all different kinds of stuff? Why? Because they choose not to. So if the devil cannot make a lost person do something, do you really think he can make a Christian do something? No, he can make us. Now, what does he do? He puts suggestions. He puts thoughts. Thoughts cause emotions. Thoughts cause feelings, different things like that. So what he does is power of suggestion and excuses. Well, I'm like I am. I have a bad temper because my mama had a bad temper. You know, and my grandmother had a bad temper, and her grandmother before her had a bad temper. I'm an Indian, you know. That's one of Scotty's. I'm an Indian, you know. I'm part Indian or whatever. What does that got to do with anything? So because you're part Indian, you run around scalping everybody? I mean, seriously. No, that has nothing to do with it. The only thing that has to do with it is the choices that I make. And the thing about for a Christian, the Holy Spirit is here to help us. We have God living on the inside of us, right? Christ means the anointed one and His anointing. He is on the inside of us. Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Okay, then we should be getting freer and freer, and we're going to talk about some of the reasons why we don't. And listen, don't let anything that I say, or that the devil makes you think I say while I'm up here, bring condemnation to you. I'm not here to condemn anybody. Like I said, I have my own issues that I deal with, or that I should be dealing with, you know, and I'm trying to deal with some. Did everybody get a hug this morning and a handshake except Zach? Sorry, Zach, I said good morning. I didn't shake you. And Scotty. Why is that? I'm working on being sweeter. You know, I told y'all last Sunday I was on the way to church. Some things happened. Scotty got mad at me when he was on vacation. He didn't talk to me for, what was it, a day and a half or something? I told him, I said, what do you think that is, a punishment? Sometimes I enjoy it. But anyway, so he didn't talk to me, you know, for like a day and a half or something other. And after we got made up and everything, I told him, I said, well, I think when I get home, I'm going to work on it. Why? Because I see things. the Holy Spirit tells me things, you know. Now, this really wasn't my fault why he got upset at me, but anyway, I'm sure I had a part to play in it or whatever. But I want to be more like Christ, you know, and I have a tendency to rub people the wrong way, the way I talk or something anyway, you know. So the best thing I can do is work on me, because I can't change anybody else. Now, your reaction might be different if my action is different, you know what I'm saying? So I told him, I said, I think whenever I get home, I'm going to work on me. Well, last Sunday, we rode to church together, and I looked over there at him. I said, can you tell that I'm sweeter now? He said, yeah, you're like pie. I knew right then, Johnny, he's exaggerating. I know I'm not like pie yet, but I'm working on it. So if you got your Bible, let's turn to Mark chapter 9. Now, to just back up, because we're not going to take time to read this whole thing, the story is this man, he had what the Bible calls a lunatic son. We might would call it epilepsy or something like that. Anyway, he brought his son to his disciples for them to cast the devil out, and they couldn't. And we know the story. The reason why Jesus said they couldn't is because of their unbelief. But here in verse 23, when they couldn't cast him out, and the man brought his son to Jesus, he told him, you know, oftentimes if he throws him in the fire and all that. Verse 23, he says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Now, I think sometimes we have heard this so much, it really don't mean a whole lot to us. Because, see, if we really believe this, there may be people in here or hear my voice right now by Facebook or whatever, and they're thinking, yeah, well, tell me something new. No, you're the one I'm talking to. You don't need anything new because you're not doing this one. How do I know that? Because if you're doing this one and you hear this by the Spirit of God, you're like, oh, yeah, that did wonders for me last time. Tell me more. But when you're in doubt and unbelief, you're like, I've heard that. I've been hearing that for 20 years. Yeah, you've been hearing it, but you've not been doing nothing with it. And that's how come our lives are not changed in certain areas. But he says, all things are possible to him that believes. So therefore, if all things are going to be possible to me, then I must be believing that they are. There's a, I wrote it down, the lady in the Bible. Let's look at that right quick. Matthew chapter 9. See, sometimes we've been dealing with certain areas and weak areas and sins and different things like that for a long time. How many know sometimes if it's been a long time, it takes a lot of word to build the faith for you to believe that it's possible for you to come out. But here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, it says, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood for 12 years. That's a long time. He goes on, he says, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment, talking about Jesus. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. Now what happened? She believed, according to the scripture, it tells us, she believed if she could touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. In one place it says she kept saying it within herself. See, the Bible says faith comes by hearing in Romans 10:17, and hearing by the word of God. When you hear something and faith comes, you get excited, and it moves you to some kind of action. Just like her, she had faith, and it moved her. The Bible says without faith, I mean, that faith has to have corresponding action. What's that mean? If I believe in my heart, and I'm saying out of my mouth, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'm not waiting on somebody to come take me to touch it. She could get there, therefore she did get there. She believed it was possible. She did it, and she was healed. That's, I mean, and what we're talking about right now, this is every area of our life. I don't care if you're wanting to save money. I don't care if you're wanting to stay married. Number one, if you're going to stay married, you have to get divorce out of your vocabulary. Your thoughts, it cannot be there. Why? Because that's always an option. Anytime that I get upset, or anytime that Scotty don't do what I want him to, or anytime that I think the grass would be greener on the other side. The only reason the grass might be green over here is because it's got a lot of manure on it. You hear me? So if I'm going to stay married, that's one of the ways I've stayed married for 36 years. This August will be 36 years. Now, we've been together a little over 38. Is it because I haven't wanted to divorce him? Absolutely not. I can't count how many times I've wanted to divorce him. Is it because I haven't went to divorce? Yes, we went all the way to the day before we signed papers at the lawyer's office before. But the thing about it is, once we got born again, one of the first things God did is led us to the scripture that says that, I think it's the Amplified Bible says it this way, that God hates divorce. Well, I love God now, and therefore I want to love what God loves, and I want to hate what God hates. So I have sat in my car before and cried all night, asking God to help me. God, help me. I cannot live with him, but you said you hate divorce. So we had to get it out of there that anytime we get upset or any different thing like that, that we did not say, I want a divorce. I've had it with you. If we hadn't, we'd be divorced. I can almost guarantee it. And yet, there's Christians are getting divorced every day. Now, listen, sometimes there's extenuating circumstances. It's more than just we can't get along. Y'all know, if somebody's beating the crap out of you every day, God's not wanting you to stay with them. You hear me? Now, I told Scotty here the other day, something come up, and we was kidding. I told him, I said, I can't divorce you anymore. I said, but I very well don't have to live with you. I can't divorce you, but I don't got to live with you. Well, why? Because divorce is not an option to me anymore. God don't like it. I'm not going to do it, right? But he helps me and he strengthens me in that area. He helps Scotty and he strengthens Scotty in that area. Therefore, that's not an option anymore. Now, some people, they don't believe they can stay married. Like Scotty, when we first got saved, they were just too much. He called it water over the bridge, you know, muddy water over the bridge. There had just been too many things happen in our past, you know, that we just couldn't seem to live together. And that's what he told God. And God told him, said, burn the bridge. What's that mean? Don't think about it no more. Don't talk about it no more. Quit ripping the Band-Aid off the sore. You know what I'm saying? Therefore, over a period of time, that wasn't even a bother anymore. The past was never brought up, never bothered or anything. So there's reasons why people have some of the problems that they have. You know, it's a sad thing if two Christians are married and they can't stay married just because they seem to have irreconcilable differences. He leaves the lid up on the toilet way too often. There are people getting divorced over that. I'm talking about Christian people. Just too much. I can't take it no more. When you walk through the house, there's spit on the toilet seat is up. There's spit on the mirror where he brushes his teeth. His clothes is in the kitchen floor, blah, blah, blah. And this is, I've just had it. That's saying a lot about you. That's saying a lot about me. If that right there causes me to just have it, then that means there's very little fruit of the Spirit going on in my life. So therefore, Mark 9:23, he says we can do all things are possible if we believe. So therefore, we have to get in the Word and we have to believe what it says, right? Look at Philippians 4. I know we could quote these, but we need to see them. Smelling a potato never did you no good. You gotta eat it, right? The verses before, verse 13, he's talking about the things that he went through, and he had learned how to be humble, you know, live with very little, and he had learned how to abound and all of that. But here in verse 13, well, I need to get 4. I thought that didn't look right. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That is another one I think we have heard so much, till it don't mean a whole lot. Most of us, we could quote it, tell you where it's at. But when it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, in my life, do I really believe that? Is that word, Jesus said, if my word abides in you and you abide in me, he said, you'll ask what you will and it will be done for you. But there's a key to it. That word there, it means to dwell. It's alive. It's living. It's producing something on the inside of me. Not just I can quote it out of my head. But I'm doing something with it. James said, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Kind of like this. Say, for an example, you know, you got a job, you got a house payment, car payment, whatever, you know, the case may be. If you yield to the flesh, you just don't feel like going to work, and you don't go to work. And you don't feel like going to work the next day. You just lay on the couch and watch Days of Our Lives and eat donuts or whatever you're feeling like at the time. And you lose your job, and then you come to church, and then you say, Pastor, the devil's just attacking me. Would you pray for me? The devil's attacking me. The devil didn't have to help you one bit. The devil didn't have to help me one bit. He didn't help me one bit to get this fat. There's no way the devil can just shove food in my mouth. There's no way. But what is that? What is that? That's an excuse. It's not because I didn't get to work. It's because of the devil. The devil's just attacking me. We didn't need the devil for that. What I have to do? I've got to stop making the excuses in my life if I want to change. If I want to do the will of God, then I've got to stop making the excuses. Say God tells you to give $10. I just can't. I guess he thought you could. I don't have $10. See, we're making an excuse. I can't, God, I don't have $10. Well, whatever happened, believe God for $10. If he told you to give $10, don't you think he will supply the $10? But it's going to take us in faith to believe God to send the $10, and then when he does, don't use it to give it. But see, we make it say, I can't tithe. I can't tithe. I guess God thought we could. See, there's nothing that he tells us to do or not to do that we can't stop doing or that we can't start doing. But it's going to take laying down all of my bag of excuses, getting in the Word, and acting on the Word that I hear. Just like, I mean, for an example, I told the Lord one time, well, I was watching TV one time, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden God told me, he said, I want you to start sending that minister I was watching $50 a month. You might as well have said a million. I don't have $50 extra a month. I mean, there's times that we're eating pinto beans from a bag three times a day because that's all we have at the time. And now you want me to send $50 a month to this TV preacher? Are you serious, God? And I didn't even know a lot at the time of what the Word says over there in 1 Corinthians 9, that he gives seed to the sower. I don't have to know that. But now I know him, and when he said it, I said, okay, God, if you'll give me the $50 a month, God, I promise I'll send it. Well, y'all have heard the story, most of you. Lo and behold, they call Scotty at Faith Restoration to do a youth meeting one night, and usually you don't get anything because you're going to that church anyway, you know, or whatever. Lo and behold, he comes back home. Guess what he's got? He says, I got grocery money. I said, no, you don't. He don't know what I had done. And I told him the story. I told God, God, if you'll bring the $50 a month, I will send it. And that was the first $50 a month, and I'm still sending $50 a month 20-something years later. Why? He said he'll give seed to the sower, but I have to believe that he will give me seed and willing to be obedient when he does. But I can make an excuse. I don't have it, God. Well, he knows you don't have it. He's not needing you to have it. He's not needing me to have the tithe. He's not needing me to have the offer. He's not needing me to have things to give to people. All he needs me to do is believe the impossible is possible. Right? And that I can do all things, he says, through Christ. I can't do everything myself. Very little can I do with myself. But he says in his word, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That word all means all. Does that mean that if you've smoked since you was 3 years old, I know it might be a little exaggerated, but anyway, might be people that have, I don't know. Does that mean that you can't quit? Does that mean you can't overcome that? Does that mean you can't be free? Let's see, we've got just a few people that say anything. You know why? Because you're broken. Does that mean, I'm not doing it now, but one of the things that I like to do is eat a half a bag of chips and watch that, My 600-Pound Life. Y'all ever seen that show? Samantha's laughing. I'm serious. I feel so bad for these people. I mean, this one guy, he weighed almost 1,000. He actually ended up dying before he got the gastric bypass surgery. But that's what they do. It's called My 600-Pound Life, and that doctor now Zard, you know, they call him Dr. Now. They come in there, boy, he don't catch you no slack, and he's short. But anyway, You know, they come in there and they are just, I mean, they have to weigh 600 pounds or more, you know, most time for the first, you know what the first thing he tells them to do? I'm going to put you on a liquid diet. A liquid diet to a 600 pound fat person? Are you serious? You want me just to have complete liquids for a month? That's what he expects you to do. Why is that? See, a lot of times people think gastric bypass surgery or some other kind of surgery is going to make you not be overweight. That's not so. I watch that show all the time. I ain't been watching it lately, and I ain't had no chips in 2 weeks. I'm eating a pickle instead. Anyway, whatever works, you know. But, I mean, I watch that show, and they say on there that like 5% is all that ever gets the weight off and keeps the weight off for the rest of their life. Only 5% out of all of the gastric bypass surgery. Why is that? Is it because they don't want to lose weight? Well, no, they wouldn't be there to get sawed up and, you know, all of that stuff if they didn't want to lose weight. But see, the surgery doesn't change what goes on in here and what goes on in here. But if you can get what goes on in here and in here changed, you don't need surgery. And that's what God is trying to tell us right now. That's in every area of our life. I don't care if we have been addicted to something for years, just like this. And it doesn't have to be, I mean, a substance or whatever. I mean, Scotty was addicted to poverty thinking. Way worse than me. I mean, y'all heard the story. I mean, he used to absolutely think, when Daddy dies, what rock am I going to get? I mean, there's 17 of, well, 14 at the time, because he had some family members that had passed on, you know. And he's got, what is it, 1 acre and 6 pence? So what rock am I going to get out of 14 kids? And he had this mentality, I can never have anything if I don't borrow. See, if you don't have that, you don't know what kind of bondage that is. Did the Bible tell us that? Did God say you can't have anything without borrowing? No. He tells us don't borrow. He says, owe no man anything except to love him. He tells us in Proverbs. He said, the borrower is subject to the lender. What's that mean? I don't care if you don't eat, you're going to pay your car payment. And if you don't, we're going to come and get it. That's one of the reasons why Proverbs tells us don't be surety. Or in other words, don't co-sign with people. He says, lest when they don't pay, they come take your bed away. Well, you're not getting my bed. So I guess you better believe God because I ain't signing. Why? Because you might be saved serving God today, but I don't know what you're going to be doing tomorrow. And your tomorrow is going to affect my today and my tomorrow. Therefore, he says, don't do it. But he tells Scotty one time, he said, every one of my children have the same Jesus. Every one of my children have opportunity for the same word. Every one of my children have the same opportunity to receive and build faith and get their needs met. How come all of us don't? Some of us just lazy. There's people, they never read their Bible. They may meditate. You know, like a cow, that's what they do. They eat it, and then they have, what is it, 7 stomachs? And so they just lay there, and you see them chewing, but what are they eating? What was in there? You can only do that for a while before you got to put something else in there. If you're a cow, right? And the Bible says that his word is food to us, that his word is bread to us, that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. His word is spiritual food to us. So if I never put it in there, I don't need to wonder why I'm weak. I don't need to blame it on the devil, why I'm weak. Now, he may have told me, you know, you're just too tired to read the Bible, or, you know, you don't understand it. That's a big one. That's a one I hear a lot out of people. I don't understand the Bible, so I don't read it. Do you understand how a carrot works in your body? Then don't eat it. You understand how pizza works in your body, goes in, breaks down, your stomach breaks. It starts breaking down, actually, in your mouth, they say, with the saliva, you know, and all that. That's why you smell something and your mouth starts watering. Your belly and everything's getting ready, you know. Do you understand how all that works and how it nourishes the body and what kind of vitamins it puts in the body, you know, and the stuff that comes out? Don't eat then. And what's going to happen to you when you don't? You're going to die. Do you realize the same thing happens to us spiritually when we don't read and study the Word? Now, spirit cannot die, but it can become so weak till it has all authority, but yet at the same time, I mean, it can't even do but a whisper. And your flesh just be running wild. I mean, you got people, I would never be a drug addict. Oh, don't be so sure. I would never sleep with people I'm not married to. Oh, don't be so sure. Why? You start yielding to your flesh, you'll be anything your flesh wants you to be. There's people out there. I mean, me, is it because I'm overweight and all that, I actually have thought about doing meth as a Christian. I mean, seriously. Why? Because I don't have to control myself, Sandy. It controls it for me. I did it. It's not I don't want to eat. I can't eat. The thought of eating makes me want to throw up. Oh, well, glory. The weight would just fall off. I don't got to control myself. I don't got to tell myself no. I don't got to exercise. Just smoke it, shoot it, whatever, snort it, I'll choose to do. And it's just going to melt away. But then I'm going to be in trouble. Can you see the lie? I'm a Christian. And try to tell me that lie. And it's nothing more than I don't want to tell myself no. Nothing more than I don't want to exercise. Nothing more than I don't want to restrict myself of everything that I want to eat. That's all the problem is. It's called self-control. Well, according to Scripture, I have self-control. It's not I don't have it, right? Galatians 5, I have it. It's because I'm not yielding to it. I'm not exercising. That would be the only reason. I don't have a medical problem that is making me gain weight. And you don't gain weight off of thin air. It just don't happen. You got to be eating something. More calories has to be going in than what's being burned. So therefore, we think, what magic pill have they come out with? What diet can I get on to lose this weight? Do you understand any diet will work? Any diet that restricts you that you'll do will work. I don't care if it's calories and you don't work on the carbs, just work on the calories. It'll work. You'll lose weight. I don't care if it's not the calories but you work on the carbs, you'll lose weight. Why? There's restriction involved. So it's not a magic pill. It's not a special diet or anything. It's telling myself no and exercising self-control. This is every area of life. If this is true, why is there Christians addicted to drugs? Why is there Christians that, I'm telling you, I talked with a girl one time, says she's a Christian, that she met a guy at the store and left the store and went home with him and had relations with him. Why do Christians do that? Why do we overeat, some of us? Why are we addicted to pills? I mean, I have family members right now that, I mean, actually, he just got out of jail not too long ago. But anyway, good guy. He says he's saved, you know, but something happened or whatever, and he got on pills, prescription pills. Now he don't do the pills, they do him. Why do we have these things in our lives? And how come when we do them, we feel bad and we cry and we ask the Lord to help us just to do them again next week or next month or whatever the case may be? It's nothing more than we yield to the flesh. We cannot even say, we cannot blame it on the devil. If I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, then I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But I must believe that. I must trust him. I must obey him. That's like right now. I mean, I'm working on losing weight. I'm not on a diet. I'm not doing meth. I'm not taking no magic pills or nothing. I just ask the Lord. See, I'm not pleased with how I feel when I look. I told you last week, it's a little hard for me to tie my shoes. Why? I look like a barrel with legs. So when I try to bend over, there's a little restriction there in the middle that you just can't breathe quite as good. So therefore, I'm not pleased with the way I look. I'm not pleased with the way it makes me feel. And I don't believe the Lord is pleased with it. So therefore, I said, okay, Holy Spirit, I asked you to help me. I'm not going on a diet. I'm not trusting an appeal. I'm going to trust you, Lord. You know exactly what I need to weigh. And you know exactly the route that I need to take to get there. So therefore, I told you I hadn't eaten chips in a couple weeks. I cannot stand a sandwich without a half a bag of chips. Chips is one of my favorite things. Like I said, watch TV, 600-pound life, I need a half a bag of chips. Sometimes a whole bag by that time. I'm not kidding. And them spicy Doritos is my favorite. Anyway, so I told the Lord, I'm just asking you to help me. I'm putting my trust in you, you know, and all of that. And so therefore, I ate a sandwich, you know. I ain't got no cravings yet. My flesh says, go to the store. Y'all's flesh never screams at y'all. Oh, mine gets real loud about certain things. Go to the store. Tell Scotty to go to the store, please. I can't eat this sandwich without chips. It's just not good. Oh, y'all quiet. I'm talking about my flesh. I didn't say nothing about y'all's. And I honestly, I believe the Lord gave me the idea. He said, eat a pickle. Instead of chips, eat a pickle. Not a pickle, but a pickle spear. I don't like whole pickles. I like the spear. I don't like the little chips or whatever. And I don't like them cold. So I don't have them cold. But anyway, so I got my sandwich, you know, and I got me a pickle spear and all that. And I'm thinking, this is just not going to be good. My thought. I believe I'm obeying the Lord. So I start eating my sandwich and I'm eating my pickle. And I'm like, this ain't too bad. It's actually pretty good, Johnny. Do you know there's way less calories and carbs in a pickle spear than there is a half a bag of chips? How long do you think if I just keep doing that, how many calories that I will not put in here? But see what I'm talking about? If I believe that he will help me, if I believe that I can, then I can. But if I don't believe that I can, I never even try. Oh my goodness. Are we even going to get further than what we did last week? I'm wondering. Look at, well, put it on the screen for us, please, Zach. Proverbs 18:14. He says, the spirit of a man, he said, will sustain him in his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Listen and amplify. It says, the strong spirit of a man. Every man has a spirit. He is the spirit, right? But everybody doesn't have a strong spirit, man. He says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit who can raise up? Now look at, since we're already here, verse 20 and 21. He says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit of it. Well, a minute on the lips is forever on the hips. Why would I say that if I'm trying to lose weight? Because this word is true. If I go around saying that, I'm working against myself. Why would I want to work against myself? Why would I not be saying things like, Lord, I have a supercharged metabolism. I thank you, Lord. I feel like I don't like exercise, but you're helping me, Lord. And bless God, I'm going to like exercise. We're going to exercise. Whatever the case may be. Why? Because there's life and death in the power of my tongue. And once on the lips and forever on the hips, that's speaking death to me. That's working opposite. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, that's how you got born again. Do you understand? This Christianity thing is in the Bible is called the Great Confession. Why? That's how it even got started. You believe something in your heart and you said something out your mouth and bam. Do you realize that's what God does? He created, you know, some people think God created everything you see out of nothing. He did not. Everything that you see that God created was already in him, and he believed it, and he spoke it, and boom, it happened. Do you realize the Bible says we're speaking spirits, and we're supposed to do the same thing? The Bible says in Romans 4, I believe it is, he says, like God, he said, call those things that be not as though they were, not like they are. It hadn't rained at my house in a while, and I'm sitting out there on the back porch, and man, it's dry out here. I mean, you walk across the yard, dust is flying where the grass is, you know. It had rained. I mean, every night it had lightened all around us thunder, but we hadn't got a drop. This is, I don't know, a week or two ago or whatever. I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I thought about that scripture. Call those things that be not as though they were. Why do you call a dog? Because he's not there. And you want him, right? Well, do you realize it's not up to God whether it rains at my house or not? He said, call those things that be not as though they were. Whoo, we need some rain. Whoo, it's just so dry around here. Look at that. The garden's like powder out there. What am I going to get more of? What I got. So I got to call the dog, right? Well, I'm sitting there, and I went, here, rain. Here, rain. I said, come on. So y'all looking at me crazy. I don't call my dog if it's sitting there. I see my dog. My dog is there. Right? God said those things that are not, call them as though they were. Why? So they'll come. There was darkness, the Bible says in Genesis, over the earth, right? The Holy Spirit was hovering. And the Bible says, God said, light be. What happened? Light didn't come. Light came. That's the same thing I have to do. I can sit there at my house and pray, Lord, send the rain. God, please send the rain. We need the rain. God, we need rain. Lord, send the rain. If I believe that God gave me that place, and God gave me my trees, and God gave me my flowers, and God gave me my garden, why would I not believe that He wants it watered? Because without water, anything that don't have water is going to die. Why would I think that God would have me do all that work out there in my garden and planting grass? Good Lord, we planted that whole place in grass. I mean, Scotty about tore us up with grass that first year that we moved there. I mean, he went in the house, and me and Travis had to finish strowing the hay one time. So after all of that, you're telling me that God would want all of that to die? I just don't believe that. I believe God's into things living, right? I believe God wants grass to live. I believe God wants my tomatoes to live. So therefore, I don't need to be sitting there praying, asking God to send the rain. I need to be speaking to the rain to come here. And so I spoke to it. I said, come on, rain. Here, rain. Now, maybe that sounds crazy, and I don't care. It rained at my house. And you can think, it's a coincidence. According to Scripture, there are no coincidences. Right? So if there's something that you're wanting to reach, a goal that you, and every one of us should have a goal. Like I said, whether it's save money. If you're going to save money, then you're going to have to work on your flesh to stop spending money. If God says He'll supply all of your needs, and He gives us all things richly to enjoy, then if I'm not prosperous, something's going with my money. Y'all not saying nothing. Something's going. You understand, you can make $10,000 a week on Friday and be broke on Monday. It's not about necessarily how much money you make. What do you do with how much money you make? There's people that they want to save money. Oh, you hear them all the time. I wish I had some money to save. I want to save some money. Then believe God to save money. I don't have any money. What about just save? But see, these are the reasons why we don't have it. God dealt with us a long time. And we had opened a savings account before and got $400 or $500 in there and something come up. We didn't get in it and spend it or whatever, you know. And God had dealt with us, you know, I don't know, maybe a couple of years before we actually finally did start another one and didn't touch it. Now, it's been in there, what, a couple of years now, and we've not took not one dime out of it. When I go to take that out, tithes has to come right off the top. I mean, it's not been touched. But the thing that we had to do about that is, number one, it looked like we didn't have any money to save. Donnie, I'm telling you, a couple of years ago, Dee did, you know, Dee does her taxes. And she did our taxes, and she told Scotty how much money he had made. He said, well, where's it at? She said, I don't know. You spent it. Y'all know Dee. She talks like I do. The amount that she told him, he's just like, I ain't got a dime. Where did it go? How many knows the numbers don't lie? They don't lie. So it was after that that he's like, we got to open a savings account. Why? Because we're spending every dime we get. Or Scotty is. I don't spend much. But anyway, on nothing. I mean, I don't know. It's like thin air. It's gone. We don't have it. So we opened up a savings account. Did it look? Did we have money to put in there? No. I think we opened it with $100. But now we have some money in there. I can walk in a store and buy almost anything in the store that I want. But yet, in that area, I have worked on my flesh till there's not a whole lot that I want. Where if you don't do that, I'm telling you, your flesh wants everything it possibly can. Another reason why some people don't want to wait. We just didn't hear that one, did we? A lot of Christians standing there at the popcorn. I mean, popping a bag of popcorn saying, hurry up! It's usually just a little over 40 minutes most of the time. I mean, seriously. Hurry up! Hurry up! Do you know the Bible says, according to Galatians 5, we have patience? The Bible says that God is the God of all patience. He's in me. I can wait. I can wait a long time if I need to. Now, I'm saying it by faith right now. I was thinking about Johnny this morning. Now, Samantha, I didn't see her very much through all whatever they was going through, you know, that they went together and all of that. And I was thinking about Johnny, and I remember when somebody gets a prophecy or whatever, I don't know, most time it sticks with me if I hear it. And I remember Rondé was here one time, been a pretty good while ago, and I heard him tell Johnny, I didn't hear all of what he told Johnny, and I heard him say something about God's going to give you the desires of your heart. Do you remember that? I walked out the door after service, and Johnny's on this side of the building, and I think it was your daddy. It was your daddy or Nemo, somebody over there on that side, and Johnny's on that side of the building. You know what Johnny's doing? Johnny's laughing, and he says, I'm going to get my family back. Now, I don't know if they looked at you sideways or what. I don't know. But the Bible says through faith and patience we inherit the promises. But a lot of time we don't want to wait. See, that's one reason why a lot of Christians are in debt. We don't want to wait. I just believe God, he'll give it to me. Well, why don't you just believe God for the money for it to come in and then go buy it? Well, I don't want to. I just believe God for the payments. Do you understand? That's okay. At one time, God will let you be on payment faith. But how many knows? He wants you off of payment faith to pay it off early and then into you pay cash. Why? The borrower is subject to the lender. And a lot of times when you buy something on credit, every time you buy something on credit, you're going to pay more for that by the time you get it paid off than you would have if you had to pay cash. A lot of times you can get better deals if you've got cash. Say somebody's got something for sale, and I mean, you're really not trying to do them, but you say, is that your bottom dollar? I got cash. A lot of times they'll say, well, not really now. I might come off this much or whatever. Do you understand what God's trying to say? See, we get in bondage to all this different stuff, and we don't know why we're there sometimes. Like I said, I'm not confused why I have extra weight. I'm not confused why I have been in debt. I'm not confused why I have been so ugly sometimes. You put ugly in, ugly comes out. Right? So we can't make excuses. And God wants us all, every one of us should have goals, and God wants us reaching those goals. You know, some people think we get saved and everything is the will of God. I'm carrying this weight for the gospel, you know. God gave me this body. Yes, he did, and he said, be a good steward over it. And he said that your body is not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Fat don't glorify God. Not in this body. Maybe it's glorified in yours, not in mine. I don't like waving, and my arm is still waving under here when my hand quits. That just, I don't like it. If you like it, that's okay. That's between you and God and your husband or wife. See, Dar, she ain't got no husband. But she still got to please herself and the Lord. So nobody gets out of this stuff, regardless of what it is. And like I said, Scotty, he doesn't ever act like he cares if I weigh 500 pounds. I said something the other day. He went to get us some supper. I think it was Friday or whatever, and I told him what I wanted to know. He said, okay, you want anything else? I said, a 12-pack of donuts. He said, baby, you really want some donuts? I'll get you some. I said, no, don't get me no donuts. He don't help me, Johnny, in that area. I said, no, I don't want no 12-pack of donuts. That was my flesh talking out of my mouth. I'm really telling you, no, I don't want no donuts. But the flesh does. I don't even like donuts that much. But how he knows when you're telling the flesh no, it starts screaming. And listen, God's not expecting us to do all this stuff by ourselves, whatever it is, and I didn't get any further than what I did last time, did I? Maybe one more scripture. But I got to stop because time is up.